Welcome back, running fans. Welcome to the Traxler podcast. This is episode number 2. I'm your host, Lloyd, and I'm joined by the incredible Rosie. Welcome back, Rosie. How
are
you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. Yeah, it's been a solid week. Obviously, weather's took a bit of a turn in the UK. It's been freezing cold, and I feel like winter is officially here.
It is, yeah. I've had to get the big coat out this week, and I'm not a fan of that one, to be
honest. Arsene Wenger coat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen a few of those flying around. You haven't got the dry robe yet, have you?
I have a dry robe, but it's not been pulled out yet. It won't come out unless I'm actually at an event.
Well,
which is something that we'll discuss later.
Yeah, because we're actually talking about running next today, and that could possibly make the list. So, running fans, today's episode is brought to you by Pillar Performance. They are the episode sponsor. And if you've never heard of those guys before, then let me explain to you exactly who they are. They are a great team of people down under in Australia, and they are a micronutrition company. And ultimately, they are attacking sports supplementation completely different to anyone out there. So we've all heard of products that come from carbohydrates and hydration. They are there to get you to the finish line in the best place possible. Whereas Pillar Performance, they are getting you to the start line in the strongest place possible. Now, if you use Traxler's discount code, which is Traxler, all capitals, you can get 15% off their entire range. If you're watching from the US, you can head over to pillarperformance.shop and grab yourself 15% off. And if you're outside of the US and you're watching today, you can head over to thefeed.com/pillar, use Traxler's discount code, which is all capitals Traxler, 15% off. And once again, thank you for Pillar for supporting the show. Now, Rosie, let's get into it.
Let's.
What have we got up first? And run us through exactly what we're talking to the lovely viewers or our listeners today about.
So we've got a few things on the menu. We've got the National Cross Country Relays Review. We spoke about how magical relays can be on the English running scene. Last time out, and obviously the cross relays have happened since. So we're going to go over that and all the action from not too muddy Mansfield this year. It was pretty firm.
Yeah.
So some fast racing over there. We're going to look at the New York Marathon because there were some interesting stories there, kind of away from the top of the elite field. There were some interesting little anecdotes that came out of that.
Could say that.
Let's explore them a little bit.
Can of worms.
Absolutely. And then some running icks are on the menu. That could be an interesting little discussion topic. I've seen a few reels flying around that people have done this before. I think it can be quite an interesting little...
It can be quite popular when it comes to content creators to talk about running apps. I've been wanting to talk about them for so long but never had a platform to discuss the ones that annoy me.
Here we are. I can't wait to get into them. It's going to be a great little discussion. So they're the big main talking points.
Yeah, we've also got some other sort of news snippets to fill people in about, just to bring them up to date. We'll run through those as they come through. But basically, what we learned from our first episode, we learned a lot of good stuff. We learned, obviously, a lot of stuff that we can improve on. But the feedback I was getting from you guys was basically that it was just really useful to sort of bring you all up to speed on what's going on from, you know, UK perspective, what we know of what's going on in the States, and then obviously globally as well. We're based here in the UK, in London, so we want to make sure that we serve our British audiences as well as our US audience and our global audience as well. So that's what we're going to run through today. And as we go, we'll connect with our community as much as possible and just ensure that we're serving you as best possible. So buckle up. If you are out on your long runs today, then, I hope that hope it's going well. I hope you haven't hit the wall yet. And if you're watching at home on YouTube, thank you so much for supporting our show so far. Please do subscribe. Give us a like. And if you're listening to our podcast on any major platform, please do leave us a review. I know a lot of podcasts say this all the time, but it does go so far in terms of getting us further up people's explore page and just supporting the show so that we can do cooler stuff. So, Rosie, you were there at Berry Park. Is it called Berry Park? No.
Berry Park's
in Luton. You don't want to go to Berry Park.
I will stay away from Berry Park.
Listening or watching and knows Luton, you'll know what I mean. But you were there. Obviously, you were doing interviews at the event for Traxler. Talk us through the event through your eyes. What was it like?
So the cross relays we discussed last time are just magical every year. Mm. I think they're so exciting. But to be on the media side this time round was a little bit of a different experience. And I could really see from kind of a spectator outside perspective looking in just how much it means to people there. I think the kind of the passion, the excitement at the cross relays was one that I saw more than I've actually seen as an athlete. You get so caught up in it as an athlete that you join in, you take part, but you don't quite realise the sheer magnitude of it until you kind of stood on the sidelines and you go, oh, God, you guys are really, like, the spectators really get into it. As much as the athletes, like, you see parents, friends coming down, even dog walkers that are just would usually be in the park, mm-hmm. they're there and they're, like, cheering people on. They'll stand to the side, obviously, let the runners come through, clap them through, all that sort of thing. So it's a really nice community kind of event, but it was just so so competitive this year. There were some really strong runs. And I think, like, one of the biggest things for me is watching the senior women, almost a carbon copy of last year's race. It was superb to watch. But then also...
Literally the same podium, right?
Exactly
the
same.
Two old shots in Belgrove.
Yeah, Belgrove took gold. And then the A and B of older shot, finishing off the podium. But then also Radley AC, and I think it was a junior men's event, were absolutely brilliant. Radley,
where are they from?
From Radley.
Yeah, where's that?
I don't know.
Anyone that's watching from Radley, can you let us know?
My geography is not good enough, sorry.
Let us know where Radley is, because that's... Well, yeah, moving on.
Anyway.
I digress.
So it's Quinn Millingham on the final leg, and he looked so in control. And then Peterborough were coming up behind them, absolutely storming their way through, had the silver medal in the bag, and they wanted the gold, and the course just ran too short.
Was it like 0.2 seconds?
Yeah, something. It was minute. It was absolutely tiny. And I mean, Millingham didn't look... at all phase. He looked so in control. But
he even commented on the post that we put out. He was like, I had it under control, guys.
Yeah, he looked so relaxed.
Oh, boy.
But at the same time, I just thought, oh, God, that
would have been fatal.
Yeah, because
remember the European Championships with Walk?
I think
the Spanish
was,
athlete,
yeah.
The Italian athlete, or vice versa.
Yeah, celebrating.
So I should laugh.
Not what you want to say,
I
is it?
I should laugh, but it was like a meme for laugh that she got done on the line. All over again.
It makes you it makes you cringe, doesn't it? But no, Quinn Millingham looked so in control. And then you could see kind of in the eye of the Peterborough athlete, I think it was Harry Hewitt, he was moving so well. And even from a distance, you could see the intention behind that surge. And he so nearly did it. But that was one of my highlights of the day. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the junior men's. I didn't actually make a note to talk about this, but Peterborough, so they're called Peterborough and Nene Valley.
Yes.
I think. So my original club that I joined when I was 7 years old was Nene Valley.
Oh, so they've merged?
Yeah. They merged about 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay.
So I was Nene Valley Harriers and Peterborough Athletics Club. Peterborough Athletics Club have been around for years, as of Nene Valley. Peterborough had some incredible athletes over the year. Obviously, they've got the city name. Mm-hmm. Nene Valley Harriers have had some brilliant athletes as well. I would say in my lifetime, Nene Valley were the better club. But historically, Peterborough have been a brilliant club as well. In actual fact, and I don't think either club will mind me saying this, there was a little bit of animosity between the clubs when I was around for the 20-odd years I was there. And then when I went off to uni, like all of a sudden, I think, I don't know why they merged. I don't know if it just made sense for the memberships or whatever, but they have now and they've got this new club name. And I couldn't have been prouder to see him on the podium. Like when I was at that club, I actually don't recall either club getting near a podium.
Yeah.
Yeah, just honestly, we were miles off it. So to see him on a podium, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big deal for clubs. And it kind of goes back to that original point of like what we were talking about last time on the episode, on the show, about how important this competition is for clubs, not necessarily to win or make a podium, but to get their best performance ever. Or they have like one of the fastest legs from one of their runners. But yeah, big up the guys back in Peterborough for making the podium, because that literally will go down in their club history.
Yeah, absolutely. It was phenomenal. And one of the guys that I was stood with, he was doing some media for England Athletics, coaches at Peterborough, and he was absolutely over the moon. He thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Sandy Barber?
No, Paul.
What's his last name? He's an older guy.
Yeah, he's going to...
Paul Larkin.
That's it. Yeah, he's going to tell me off for forgetting his name now next time I see him.
No, Paul Larkin was a really good runner.
Yeah, he was.
Mustard runner in his day.
Yeah.
I feel like... I don't know how fast he ran over 1500. I want to say he was like 3:36 maybe.
We'll have to look it up. But yeah, he'll...
He's very fast.
Yeah, he was absolutely delighted. A lot of his athletes running as well, but he was...
He's been around for years as well at the club as well. Like all my life, he was there coaching. So he'll know what I mean when I say that. Like, I know... Like, Peterborough used to have a couple of good junior teams, but you never get to near the podiums, you know, getting up there with the older shots and Tom Ridges and that, just especially at a junior level where I feel it's more competitive.
Absolutely. Yeah,
like,
I think
the seniors, so. I don't know, just insane. But run us through those senior races. What happened?
Yeah, so we'll start with the women's. It was an interesting start. It was a little bit kind of mixed around. It had nothing to do with kind of the final standings in a sense. The podium changed a lot after that first leg. So Hearn Hill led us through. Lucy Jones had a great first leg.
Yeah.
So she led through and passed over in pole position. And then it was when, I think it was, who was on second leg? I think it was Sarah Aston on second leg. I think Kate Axford finished them off.
Kate took the...
Kate was
the
anchor leg. Leg.
Sarah was second leg, yeah.
So Sarah taking second leg had them up onto first by the time that she'd completed her 3K.
She did run a very good
so
leg.
So she had a really strong leg and yeah. she looked really smooth, I have to say. And then Kate came through and had a stormer. She said in her interview afterwards, like, she was just focused on pulling that gap forward. They won it by about 30 seconds last year, I think it was. Mm. And this year it was 58 seconds. So she was just focusing on building that. And yeah, in those last two legs, the Aldershot teams came up as well. I actually think the Aldershot B team was ahead in the first leg.
Yeah, because Amy Griffiths ran really well.
Yeah, she had a really strong run. So the B team were actually ahead of the A team after leg one. But again, in the final two legs, that's what ran, and those two pulled clear of the rest of the field. But yeah, to see Belgrave do a double, I actually really enjoyed watching that. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the time we enjoy seeing new winners come through, but to see Belgrave take the title consecutively, I actually really enjoyed, because it was just quite nice to see the team feel around them. They had a small change in the team. I think it was Nadine Donegan came into the team on first leg.
Yeah.
So a slight difference for her. But to see the kind of the team community and them talk about their training group, and it made me really pleased to see them have success as a team after they'd spoken to me about how kind of team centric their training is. And they knew each other's race calendars a little bit and what was going on and how they could sync their training up and what was best for each of them. And it was just a really nice sort of environment to see them come through and then have that success as well. I thought it was really well deserved.
No, I like that. I'm just looking at the results now. So, because I'm such a sucker for, like, I look at results from relays, and I always think when you see like an A and B team, I'm always like, oh, okay, so if A had picked the right team, could they have won it? And I remember looking at this over the weekend, and I'm just going to quickly do it and work it out. So I know that Amy Griffiths ran really strongly on one of her legs. She ran 9:48, which was 4 seconds faster than Sarah Aston had run on that leg. Now, if Aldershot had replaced their slowest A runner with Amy, they would have run 45 seconds faster.
Ooh, it would have been a closer finish then.
So you then, that 58 goes down to 13 seconds.
Yeah.
Now you've got a different race on your hand.
Yeah.
And I've not done the maths, and I might be able to quickly work it out. So yeah, it was Neve Brown that was on the last leg. So in actual fact, because Kate ran 35, Kate ran 12 seconds faster than Neve Brown. So am I right in saying that if Amy was on the second leg, Aldershot would have taken the third leg? They'd have been 1 second ahead at the changeover. Am I right in saying?
I think so.
I think I have that right, because Kate ran 12 seconds faster. I think that's right.
There definitely could have been a hell of a race there if the selection was just a tiny bit different.
I'll let someone else at home do the stats on that. We need Tim Gross. Tim Gross. We're going to talk about Tim later in the show. Athletics Data Power 10 founder. Absolute legend of a YouTuber. Loves his stats. And he gave us a shout out on his YouTube video last week. He gave our show and us
incredible.
A shout out.
That is so, incredible.
Tim, you are a legend.
That is absolutely awesome.
But Tim, a little bit of homework for you. Can you go and do that for us? Because that would be like, you know, piece of cake for you. Can you let us know what that would have looked like on that last leg between Belgrave and Aldershot? But that's the beauty of the event.
It is.
You know, the team managers, they pick who they think's the best team, you know, off form and whatnot. But then, and rightly, you know, the teams were probably the strongest off form. But then on the day, you never know what you're going to get. You might have a tougher run, or someone has a stormer, you know, and that's what I love about these relay formats. And when you're a club like AFD, you've got that in your back pocket where you've got so much depth.
Yeah, I think obviously if you've not got the depth, it's almost a little bit of a done deal. You know that your top three are going to be whoever it is, put them out. If they have a good day, if they have a bad day, they're probably still the top three in the club. You get someone like AFD and you think, like, this actually could really make or break the races that you guys are going to have. And obviously in a relay, that can then impact the race of the next person on the next leg and so on. So it is a really interesting little dynamic, and it's one of the reasons why the relays do get so exciting. They just become so much more kind of in-depth and unpredictable. And I think as sports fans in general, we do love a little bit of unpredictability. That's one of the reasons why people get so drawn into sport. And I think that is something that the relays do so well. That's why we love them.
And in the senior men's race, we were so far off with our predictions. I actually, when we recorded the last episode, I actually listened to it back. And I, the first thing I thought was, we have not spoken about so many good teams.
I know.
And I hope no one pulls us up on it. No one has pulled us up on it, but I'm honest. I'm an honest guy. We were way off with our predictions. We were talking about clubs that were so far away from winning. But Shaftesbury took it on the day. In the senior men's race, with Bedford and County coming through for second and Cambridge and College making the podium for third. I was really impressed with Bedford and County. Obviously, they're a club that have got so much history and heritage from runners over the years. You know, obviously most notable, Paula Ratcliffe back in her day. But growing up through the years, I would always see Bedford and County up there in the junior ranks. I would almost say that their senior teams, I don't know, they've almost gone under the radar the last few years.
Absolutely.
I think as some of their athletes have gone off to American scholarships or unis or fallen out of the sport or whatever. But like looking at their splits, they were so consistent. Their fastest leg run around 15 flat and their slowest was 15.11. So 15.11, 15 flat, 15.11, 15.06. So they came through for second. But there was one result that, again, I was looking at it and thinking, well, if they'd have done this...
Go on.
Do you remember in the preview, we were speaking about Morpeth Harriers, and I said that if they
absolutely
put out that team, they would destroy it. Well, they didn't put out the four that I thought they could because for whatever reason, but they did put two of them out. Scott Beattie and Rory Leonard both ran. Rory ran the fastest leg of the day with a 14.30.
Yeah.
Scott ran 14.47. But they were 40 seconds off of the win. Now, their other two leg runners, good runners in their own right, but were a long way off of Rory and Scott. And if they'd have had two runners that could have averaged 15 minutes in and around where Beds County were, they could have been between 80 and 90 seconds faster than what they were, which would have been a very, very comfortable win.
Yeah.
And I think that looking at Rory's Strava caption, I think it was Strava or Instagram, one of the two, but he basically said, like, he'll be back next year to take the win. And I'm happy to die on the hill and say that if they had their strongest team out, they would have absolutely wiped the floor with that race.
Yeah.
Because Rory and Scott were just demons and they just almost needed like two runners to just run a little bit faster than miles out ahead. That's not taken away from anyone else in the race because the best teams won. But I'm just saying, like, what could have been?
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, you're absolutely right with the best teams won. I mean, Shaftesbury Barnet, they had no idea they were going to win. I think that was one of the talking points of the day is they didn't realise that they were ahead. Jamie D didn't.
How?
I think they just kind of got confused. They have two laps per 5k at Mansfield, so you kind of have two laps and then the change. So it does start to get a little bit messy after the first leg. People do start to be overtaking, and you start to be having like some lap runners from the clubs at the back, and some of those are maybe making up numbers or just enjoying a run out. I think that the legs have kind of got a little bit kind of intertwined and runners were just absolutely everywhere. There was no real break in the course. It was just a continuous stream of people at various paces. And I think Jamie was off focusing on his warm-up. He was doing his thing. And rightly so, head down, get in the zone, get yourself sorted, especially when you know a medal's potentially on the cards. So he wasn't really paying attention to what had happened on the previous two legs or previous three legs. And he got himself on the start line, off he went, and for probably the first quarter of the race he said I didn't realise I was out leading.
So you probably had like quite a bit maybe in his tank then.
Might
have been able to go a bit quicker.
He said when he realised it was kind of okay, well I've just got to bring it home now. They've done all the hard work and I've just got to make sure I don't mess this up. But he said it was a really interesting point actually that he was gonna he said it helped him thinking that he was being chased. And we mentioned this a little bit last week when we spoke about the road relays. When you're being chased and you've got a race on your hands, that's a really, there was really quite a lot of pressure on you. Chasing is a lot easier in a sense, from kind of a pressure point of view. And I think he enjoyed thinking he was chasing for a while and then switching it and realizing he was being chased kind of went, right, let's go, time to really push on. There was a reason to do that. And obviously, there always is a reason to do that. But that extra sort of little extra motivation is a real help. And he came through really strongly. And yeah, Shaftesbury Barnet had a great win.
All right, good for them. And again, another club with a lot of history of making podiums. And they're used to making podiums and winning. So, you know, even though that, you know, Jamie might not have known that he was out in head, you know, once he did, it was game, set, and match, because they're used to challenging for the title and that. So it's good to see. Good to see. Okay, so yeah, that was National Cross Country Relays for another year.
Yep.
We look forward to it next year. And if you ran, if you were in one of the teams that we said didn't do that very well, or maybe you was in one of the winning teams, you're welcome to leave us a comment, as long as you don't basically have a go at us. But anyway, moving on. Next up, we are going to talk about the New York Marathon, which, as we said in our intro to the show, didn't come without drama.
No.
And I feel like this is happening at every major in the marathon. We had the drama from Chicago with the world records.
Absolutely.
Slightly different drama this time around. And I can't stop smiling because it's been a hectic week. I put a meme on my Instagram story. Do you watch Gavin and Stacey?
I do.
You know that meme with Pam? She goes, "It's just the drama, Mick. I love it." It was so absolutely much brilliant. Drama. And I was just sat at home with my like hypothetical bowl of popcorn, just loving it. It was so entertaining. And, you know, there's been moments in the running community world like this. And I'm not saying they're good for the sport, because the actual story is, I don't personally believe, is good for the sport. But It gave me something to do for a few days to keep on top of. It was, it was like when you're just invested in Love Island. It was basically the same. But let's talk about the elites at the pointy end.
Yes.
Because we did have some big wins.
Absolutely.
Talk to it, Rosie.
Yeah, so in the men's, if we look, in fact, it was a lot closer, actually, both in the men's and the women's, than Chicago a few weeks ago. We saw, obviously, that world record was so much quicker than second and third in the women's race.
Yeah.
It was almost like, well, there is no race. You're out on your own, and that is an incredible
one
momentum.
Horse race.
Yeah, exactly. However, in both the men's and the women's, the top two were both inside the same minute. So they were together for quite some time. So our men's was won by Abdi Nagei in 2:07:39. And I think it's interesting, like we mentioned a little bit, when we spoke about Chicago, that 2:04, we were kind of like, that's good, we're impressed, but no one's really batted an eye massively at it.
No.
And I think the same applies with this 2:07. Like, again, it's a few minutes slower, but obviously very different courses. And I think, we are kind of moving past it to some of the other stories from Chicago that take the focus away from the elites, almost as if 2:07 isn't a crazy feat. Like, that's still incredibly fast. And then, it's 2:07:39. And then Chibet was in second with 2:07:45. So 6 seconds between those two. So that would have been
a good race.
A very good race.
Yeah.
And to have those two together the whole way undoubtedly would have helped them both in those closing stages. But then we move to the women's. And apologies for my pronunciation here. Because
go on, give it a go.
My handwriting's not great and it's been a long week.
Come on, butcher it.
Sheila Kepruni. Kepruki? I think it's Kepruki.
I'd go Sheila Chepkiri. Chepkiru. I've got it in.
That's the one.
Boom! Chepkiru. You know this is
when
a commentator. You get it right. And
when
you're like,
you know.
I'm never going to get that right ever again. That was that moment.
Basically,
Sheila took the win.
She took the win. 2:24:35.
Yeah.
So again, fantastic, solid run. Helena Beery, though, was the pegged favourite.
So it was
a surprise, I think, to see her taking second in this one.
Yeah.
So she was 2:24:49 and she wanted the course record. We kind of knew going in she had an eye on that, and that's what she was going for. The course record was 2:22:31. So within her reach, really.
Not too
like,
far off,
it's
yeah.
something that you think that, she's going to have that. Maybe not Helena Beery's day. But
I spoke to the On guys after the race, a few of the On people, and they were like, it was a really, really good weekend. Like they had the big activation with their robotic arm making the shoes, and they had this cheer squad and everything. And then it was a bit of a deflating moment because it was like, wow, she made the podium again. But they're so used to her winning, you know.
Exactly.
So I suppose that's the pedestal these athletes are on at that level.
Absolutely. I mean, we do put them on a pedestal in the sense of, I mean, we mentioned it last time out with Kipchoge, this sense of, of course you're going to win. Of course you're going to break two. Of course you're going to do this.
Yeah.
The inevitability of these athletes, and they're human. So the fact that she's podiumed again, Helena Beery is incredible.
She's a beast.
No doubt about it. But
I absolutely love Helena Beery. She's such a demon.
Yeah, I think she's great. She's one of my favourite athletes. But I think, it's almost a deflating feeling because we look at it and go, why wasn't there fireworks?
Yeah, no. But I think it's like, bit of a double-edged sword, really. I don't know, no, poison chalice, I'd say, because it's like, you don't always want fireworks, because then, I don't know, I feel like when we see a lot of fireworks from the sport consistently, time and time again, and it's like, you know, say like the Diamond League, like every Diamond League's world record, it takes the shine away from it.
Absolutely.
Like, and sometimes I just like a good race.
Yeah, and it becomes too much of a good thing, in a sense. And I think we do get a little bit spoiled, which is why almost this elite side of the New York City Marathon, as amazing as it was, people do feel a little bit deflated afterwards in some cases, because we are spoiled a lot of the time, especially with the advances that we get in shoe technology and recovery and training. We're in an era where records are falling very regularly. To not have a record go, people are like, oh, well, this was really bigged up.
Yeah,
but it's sport. You can't have that every single time. And I think sometimes as fans, we need to kind of be like, wow, that's still pretty solid. So I really enjoyed that. And it was still a close race. Like I say, they're both inside the same minute. 35 seconds and 49 seconds for the top two.
Yeah, it's nothing so over a marathon.
The 26.2 miles, like, we were treated, instead of records, to two very, very good races in the elites.
Yeah, on British side of things as well, we had a big run from Johnny Miller. He ran 2 hours, 11 minutes, which is, a huge run on that course. So I was chatting to a few people on the run after it, and they were like, how much do you think the course is worth? And it's really difficult to put a number on it, but it's got to be worth 2 minutes. Like, surely, it's a hard course. Yeah. So that's a big run from Johnny Miller. Callum Hawkins returned to racing in the marathon. He ran 2 hours and 15. So I believe he's still on his comeback trail or comeback journey from long term injury. Well done, Callum, for making the finish in 2 hours 15. And Rory Linkletter, I think he ran 2:11 as well. I don't have his exact time in front of me, but he was the fastest ever Canadian on the course. So big run from Linkletter, who has changed coaches this year. He was coached by Ryan Hall, Sarah Hall's fella, but he's changed coaches now because I think Ryan Hall's taken a step back. But anyway, we're going to stick with New York City Marathon. There was a lot of drama away from the elites, and a lot of you listeners or watching on YouTube, you'll know what we're about to talk about, because we've kind of said that we were going to talk about it earlier in the week on socials. I think that it needs to be spoken about, you know, because it's a good talking point. I'm not going to make this a segment where, and I don't want to do this about any topic we talk about, where it's like just my opinion. I will give my opinion, but I also want to make it a discussion and kind of keep the floor open so that we can have a discussion about it. But I also want to kind of report about it. Like, I want to state the facts of what's happened rather than just, project my opinion, because I don't think that's what this show is all about. With that being said, I haven't prepared sort of like certain things you research. I haven't researched this story too much because it's one of those stories that it was just in front of me. It was crazy. You know, your 48-hour period, I felt like I was there.
Yeah.
But to give you a rundown, Rosie, because I'll kick things off. Basically, I'll say an influencer, and we'll get into the term of what the title is for this particular individual. A runner called Matt Choi, he was banned from the New York City Marathon and all New York Roadrunners races for life after his camera crew followed him on electric bikes during the race. Now, Matt Choi is it's difficult to say whether he would identify as an influencer or content creator. I'd probably say a content creator, if I'm honest, if I asked him. We actually had him on our podcast last year, and I've never met him, but on the podcast and before the podcast, after the recording, nicest guy, really good guy. You know, I take people at face value all the time. I really liked talking to him. I learned a lot on the show. I thought he was really valuable, and just came across as a really nice bloke. So I wanted to make that clear from sort of my experience of Matt. Now, this article here, to give you a little bit more background to our viewers and our listeners, this is from The Independent. Basically, it says here that Matthew Choi, a fitness content creator from Texas, ran the 2024 marathon on Sunday following the 26.2-mile race. He announced on Instagram that he'd finished the marathon in 2 hours and 57 minutes. However, many people in the comments were quick to point out the film crew with him on the course, claiming they interfered with the other runners. One person said, and I quote, "I honestly don't understand why you need a film crew to film you whilst running a marathon. You've completely lost touch with reality. It's everyone's race, and you are clearly impacting others by doing that. Film yourself like the rest of us normal content creators. Have your people that are cheering for you film you as you run by them, but keep the crew off the course." Now, one other person commented, Like, actually be a runner for the love of running. Put the phone away. Why do you always find a way to make influencers documenting their running constantly look bad? Now, since then, there was a time, there was kind of a period where NYIR, New York Red Runners, hadn't commented, hadn't come out with anything, and it was all, and it was just a bit of a, people were just piling on that. Loads of people were in the comments. There was a thread opened up on Let's Run. There was a thread opened up on Reddit. Reddit was absolutely popping off, thousands of comments. And yeah, everyone was piling on Matt in the comments, but then also started to go over after his sponsors. So Matt's sponsored by a footwear company called Kane, who I don't really know too much about their shoes, to be completely honest. And then his other sponsor was a company called Runner, who are a coaching platform, like an AI coaching app. And the founder of Runner was pacing Matt in New York. So he was there next to him.
Yeah.
So as the comments start coming in and piling on and on and on, it then starts to progress to piling on his sponsors, particularly Runner, because the founder was there running with him. So their, you know, foul play was being called that they were in on it, or, you know, part of it. Now, Matt since then has come out with an apology video after being banned. So the New York Roadrunners came out and basically said that we've banned Matt for life for all of their events, not just the marathon. Then he's come out with an apology video. Now, the last thing I'll say, Rosie, before I sort of hand this over to you with what you think about it, and then we can sort of start the discussion, because I know there's a lot there. It's worth noting that Matt has come out with this apology video. So to some extent, and as a lot of people have said in his comments to support him, he has owned it. But it, and I, and you have to take an apology on face value when you see it. But it is also worth noting that this isn't the first time that Matt's done this.
Yes.
And this is common knowledge. Now, I don't have the amount of times that he has done this in front of me. And I've seen different numbers called. I've seen people say that he's done up to seven different events in different ways, but I do know that he did the Houston Marathon.
Yes.
And he bib-muled, which is basically running under someone else's name, I think.
Yeah, you basically, you take someone else's number that they're registered to when the event doesn't allow the transfer, basically.
Yes, so did that, claimed he didn't realise that that was wrong. Apology video. There was also a problem with another marathon he did, and I also read something about an ultra as well, but there has been multiple occasions where he's had his crew on course on bikes filming. The bib muling was obviously a major problem, because that is a slightly different sort of type of foul play, if you like. But yeah, there's been multiple occasions where he's done wrongdoing against, basically against the rules, and had to come out with an apology video, but this is the first time he's been banned. So the first question I suppose I've got for you, Rosie, is where's Red out with all of it? What's your initial thoughts on the, what happened in New York Marathon?
I think I can see why it's an appealing thing for him to do as a content creator. Good point. Like a smooth shot. You like a continuous kind of live stream, if you like. You can select your best bits. I can see why it was appealing to him.
Yeah.
But I think as somebody on social media, in essentially what is a position of power, you are, and there's a reason influencers are given the name influencers.
Yeah.
It is unacceptable to be putting people in danger. The thought process, I think, just didn't go beyond his content. And I think I understand why. And some, we're all guilty sometimes of not realising that our actions have repercussions further than the event itself or to other people. And I think that's the most human thing, to make that mistake.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in the world that we live in, when social media is powerful in every sense of the word, it has so much impact on so many things. It is unfortunately his responsibility to make sure that those repercussions are thought about as a content creator. And that's what he's fallen short on. Whether it's in the rule book or not, that is something that he should be thinking about with his content every time. There should always be a, okay, this is what we're planning to do. This is what we're planning to put out. Are my actions going to impact anybody negatively? Is that within my control? Is that something that I need to be adapting my filming style for or my content for? And I think the answer in this case was yes, it is going to impact other runners negatively that have trained just as hard as I have. It is going to impact other runners that have paid to be in this marathon.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's not fair on them. It is as big a day for them as it is for him.
Yeah, and to follow on with that, you said about the influencer term. So Matt has 404,000 followers on Instagram, and I think about 485K on TikTok. So yeah, massive reach, massive influence, and it's no doubt why companies sponsor him and spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars invested into him. Since the event, Runner have dropped him. So one of his sponsors has come out, not publicly come out, but in comments said that we don't condone this behaviour and we have ended our relationship with Matt as an ambassador straight away. I think the sponsor's responsibility, if a runner is running by themselves and being filmed, I would say that the sponsors have a responsibility to react accordingly post-event. But if the sponsor have a representative running with the runner on the course for 26 miles and seeing the clips of the bikes on the course, like that I just can't understand that. I can't understand how that has happened for 2 hours and 57 minutes and allowed to happen.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why this has become such an issue, not just because of all the things we've just discussed, but more specifically, was that the bikes were blocking water stations.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in a mass marathon. They broke the world record for the most amount of participants as well. They broke from Berlin the other week. 56,000, I think it was. Water stations are packed.
Yeah.
So if you've got a bike going past, that's obviously going to get in your way. You know, I don't know whether they were literally there in front of the water station at standstill, but yeah, it would have created chaos. There were also people in the comments saying that they got hit by the bikes. And do you know what? Like, when it first came out, taking away the fact that I've had Matt on a podcast and watched his content and all that sort of stuff, taking away all that, I just felt really sad.
Yeah.
And what I put on my story was, what WTF, what the F has happened to running?
Yeah.
Now, this is not to say that I don't think there's a place for influencers in our sport, because I do. And I think that influencers and content creators in all of sport and all of life are a brilliant asset when utilised, because I think it caters to an audience that maybe isn't catered to from other runners like me, like you, like elites or like whatever. But I'm just a little bit bored of where the sport's gone on a global event sort of standpoint. And I don't know whether this is me being a boomer or being a dinosaur, but I just can't be bothered with it. It's just really trashy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it doesn't really, there's disrespect. There's so much disrespect with what happened on Sunday. But I think this is a wider issue than just Matt. It's a beyond the wider issue. I mean, the rules within NYR is that you're not allowed selfie sticks in the race, but you could see there would be hundreds of people selfie sticks, GoPros, extendable ones, God knows what else, you know, loads of that going on. So how can that be policed?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, if we're going to make this a rule and we're going to ban people, then it needs to be policed and it needs to ensure that that's clamped down upon, because the rules are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. I think there's a safety aspect as well that wasn't respected. But I want to get more onto the fact that I think this is a wider issue with influencers within the running space. You know, we could sit here and we could pile on Matt for an hour, but I think that's been done already.
Yeah.
And I don't actually agree with the hate on one person. I don't agree on public hate. After someone's apologised, I know he's done it multiple times, but if someone's apologised, I don't see the benefit in continuing throwing hate at someone. I think the only thing that's going to come with that is that Matt's mental health is going to completely suffer. So I don't believe that that's good. That's good. But my issue, and this is one from my experience, is that I did Berlin Marathon a few weeks ago. There's 38K in the race and I just hit the wall. I was in trouble. And it was me and this one guy. It was really split up because I was brought towards the front of the race. Well, top 200, so it was a bit thinner. There's one guy about two strides in front of me, and he was a Berlin runner. And all of a sudden, the crowd started going mental for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was part of a Berlin crew.
Mm-hmm.
And these two guys, out of nowhere, run in between us. I had my head down because I'm chomping away, trying to get towards the end. And they run in between us with selfie sticks
Okay.
and start filming him. and one's behind him, so like, in, so like right in front of me, and the other one's like next to him, next to me. Now, my, what came out of my mouth, I can't repeat, but that was just pure frustration that in that moment where I am 30K into a marathon, I am so, I'm hurting so much. And the last thing I want is a guy in jeans cutting me up,
yeah,
having to chop my stride because you're trying to film your friend. And it goes back to stay off the field of play.
Yeah.
In any other sport, you are not allowed to enter the field of play. So why has it become acceptable, which we're seeing in major road races, to have groups of people either filming on the course, trying to get as close to the runners as possible, running with the runners. You know, I've seen races with like smoke grenades and like almost like an Argentinian football ground, like just creating this crazy atmosphere, which might look great on social media, but I just don't think that it is in good faith of the sport and ultimately the rules. Now, I know that there's going to be a counter argument of, well, they do it in Tour de France. They do it in Tour de France. How many riders are in Tour de France?
A fair few.
200?
Yeah. There's, but 56, not quite 56,000.
This is my problem. This is a completely different environment. And I just think there has to be more respect on, ultimately, this is a sport.
Yeah.
This is not a pantomime. This is not a circus. This is a sport.
Yes.
And that is that's an arena.
Yeah.
And I just think that's my view on it.
Yeah, I think the difference between running and the Tour de France is there's a consequence. If you are impeding too much in the tour, those bikes are going to hurt you and the rider.
Yeah.
And that automatically breeds a respect. Regardless of the number, and I think you see a flock of bikes running, cycling towards you, that instantly those 5, 6, 7 bikes feel more than 15 runners coming at you, because it's got a bigger kind of impact should something go wrong. And I mean, we have seen it in recent years. People have kind of become a little bit too almost entitled on the course of the tour, and things have gone wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that does just link into the fact that as good as it is for sort of entertainment value and improving that atmosphere, it does need to be measured a little bit. And I think, I mean, we're going to talk about 9 out of 10Ks at some point, I'm sure, but would they have lane 3 beer and cheer? And that's great, because you can be closer to the field of play.
But you're behind a barrier.
And they monitor it, and they do it in a way that is so measured and is so kind of, yeah, secure and sensible. You don't need to be worried that you're going to get hit, because yes, you're in lane 3. Yes, you're really up close and personal with the athletes. You are in the race, it feels like, but it's safe.
Here's a question for you.
Go on.
Why do you think the running community reacted so, so angrily to the Matt Choy story and his sponsors and, you know, ultimately anyone involved?
I think it's probably because I think as runners, we see ourselves as pretty equal.
Such a good answer, Rosie. I wasn't sure what you were going to say, but like, that's, I was like, yeah, that's bang on.
Yeah. I think we enjoy consuming running content because we relate to it. It's the same for everybody. And your experience and my experience might be different, but ultimately our love for the sport is the same. And we both know that we're going and we're putting in everything, and we are equals in the sense that we work hard towards our goal. And you might run a sub 2:30. For all I know, I could run a 5-hour marathon one day, but we are equal. We are runners. We are putting the work in together. That marathon,
same start line,
is a level playing field.
Yeah.
And Matt would have been on that start line with the masses. You are not an exception.
No.
And I think people have looked at it going, we've paid to be here. This is our spot, just as much as it is yours. And I think that almost kind of entitlement, almost an elitist mindset, has no place in sport anyway, but in athletics specifically, and marathon running even more specifically, it doesn't have a spot. It's, we are all equal. As soon as we're on that start line, we are just competitors together. And I think that people have been in absolute uproar because it is a sense of Matt has gone into it with the mindset of, my content is more important than your race.
Yeah.
And that's just not true. Yes, his content is important to him,
yeah,
but everyone else's race is important to them. No more so or less than his perspective. And I think running as a whole, we're pretty good on our sportsmanship.
Yeah.
There are so many clips that you could, like, you could just reel off the top of your head of sportsmanship being shown in athletics and running. Of people helping each other out and sharing water at water stations in a distance race or whatever it might be. And it kind of just undermined that ethos, the sense that, no, I'm not here to help you, I'm here to get my content. And I think when you have been impacted directly, that would, like, if I was impacted directly, I would have been quite angry that I would have been there. And he wasn't moving slowly. That's a sub 3 hour marathon.
It's very, very impressive, yeah.
So,
because he does a lot of other marathons as well. So, like athletically, he's, you know, incredible.
Exactly. But the athletes that are up there and looking for that sub 3 hour,
yeah,
that could be really, really impactful, as it could have been if you were looking for a sub 4 hour or a sub 5 hour. Those athletes also have that barrier in their head. As much as Matt wanted to break 3 hours, so did everybody around him. And I think the kind of the lack of consideration that, like I said earlier, it didn't go beyond that kind of realm of what's the repercussions on everybody else is what will have frustrated so many people, because running is a level playing field. It is a sport for everybody. There is no one that can't participate in athletics in some way.
Yeah.
We're a really inclusive sport in so many aspects. And ultimately, all we want is to have everybody to enjoy running. And that kind of detracted from that a little bit. And whether people have kind of thought that deeply about it or have just been kind of a surface level frustration, I'm not sure. But I think that is where the frustration comes from if you really want to track it down.
Yeah, that's an excellent explanation and answer. And I think a lot of listeners and viewers will resonate with that. And hopefully, because I know there's a lot of anger from this, like, and that made me sad as well, because I don't want the running community to be angry at the sport. Like, I want them to always feel good about it. And hopefully that, you know, there'll be people that listen to what you've just run through and that may calm them a little bit and actually make them think, do you know what, our sport is actually amazing for these reasons. Yeah. So a great answer. There will be, though, people that listen to that and actually think, shut up.
And I'm sure I'll get
and do you know why? And it's nothing against you, Rosie. And that's my point of this is a wider issue.
Yeah.
That there is an attitude within running right now that does not associate themselves with what you've just run through. They don't understand any element of that.
Yeah.
They don't understand the values of what you've just run through. And it is such a widespread issue where it comes off the back of a running boom that we're going through now, which I think is brilliant from COVID. And there's not one person to blame from it. There's an element of responsibility from so many different groups, people, individuals, role models within the sport, sports retailers, brands, media outlets. There's so many people that are responsible of how we share the sport that I just feel that it's been misconstrued slightly, so that a lot of newer runners view running in a way that, unfortunately, this is the product of that. So you and me would never do that. What, like, no chance. So, but there's a runner out there, and many, many others, and thousands, and hundreds of thousands that wouldn't even bat an eyelid.
Yeah.
That's my issue.
Yeah.
That there's two separate groups here. One can't fathom why that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And one group cannot fathom how you think that may be acceptable.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where our sport needs to do better in how we communicate to our audiences. And that's not these are the rights and wrongs of running. Not at all. But this is what running is. It's the most accessible sport for everyone. Everyone should be able to do it. Anyone can do it. Never be told you can't do it. However fast you go, good for you. But respect, integrity, and ultimately following the rules is really important.
Yeah.
And if they're not being communicated at the first entry of someone getting into running, then I feel that we may not have a lot of hope.
Yeah.
I feel that we not have a lot of hope. Now, if you give me another sport, you're taught the fundamentals of that sport very quickly. You know, when I first started playing football as a kid, it was respect your teammates, respect the referee, try hard, take part, pick yourself up after your losses and follow the rules.
Yeah.
Like, that was one sport. And I've tried to emulate that in athletics. And I've always said that track for me, not track, but like running for me has really taught me and molded me into the person I am mm-hmm. today from what I've learned.
Yeah.
So I don't really know quite how to wrap this segment because I feel like there's so much within it that
yeah.
annoys me. And we could talk about from the way the sponsors have handled it to... there's so many things I've been told, there's so many things that I've read, there's so much background information that I've been given since this from within Matt's camp as well, out of Matt's camp, that I've just thought, Jesus, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah.
So I don't really know how to wrap it, but I'm glad that we've discussed it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's important.
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think as well, just to highlight that there is almost that little gap between the education of competitive running, whether you are there to compete with others or compete with yourself. Like there's almost a gap between that and you and getting out the front door.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that will be because people didn't necessarily grow up in athletics clubs. They've taken it up during COVID. They've gone out their front door, and a lot of them it's a social sport or an individual sport that they do in their evenings. They don't necessarily, they might have an informal group, but it's not quite the bread and butter of the sport. You don't have to follow the rules to run. You can just run. But once you get into races, there's almost a misunderstanding of that sometimes, I think. And I think the communication of that needs to be improved on probably race entries is probably the easiest place to do it. Is a real kind of, like you have to read X, Y, Z. And of course it's there in the small print.
Yeah.
Perhaps an organiser could change the way that they present that information to their competitors in the future, maybe. I'm not sure, that's just off the top of my head. But I think that's probably likely where the link is missing or is a little bit weak in that education.
I think there's a lot of anger as well in the running communities from this specifically, but towards influencers.
Yeah.
As also, I want to, yeah, just on that, make a point. There was a YouTuber called the FOD Runner, Andy, his name is, from the UK, made a video about this.
Mm-hmm.
Did a great job in actually explaining the difference between a content creator and an influencer, which I knew. I knew that, but I had to kind of watch it, and then I was like, oh, no, you are. That's a really good point. So I kind of fallen foul of kind of throwing everyone under the same umbrella there. But he did a great job in explaining the wrongs and the rights from it, and the comments section was brilliant and really a really constructive conversation. But I think that the reason why there's a lot of anger, one of the reasons why there's a lot of anger towards this story and influences within the running space as a whole, and it's sort of caught fire a little bit and spread, is that, I don't know whether you noticed this, there are a lot of people that get free race entries now.
Yeah.
Like there's companies that gift race entries, mm-hmm. hotels, expenses. Now I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and say that I've never had a free race entry because I've had many free race entries. I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite and say that I've never been paid to go and run a race because I have gone and been paid to go and run a race. But where this anger is coming from is that if you are being paid to run a race and there's then foul play, I think where the anger's coming from is ultimately you are profiting
mm-hmm.
from foul play within
yeah.
a sport that's giving you that platform. So my issue with that is that I think these companies, I think they need to do a little bit better and be a little bit more responsible and hold themselves accountable to who they are investing in.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think that sending people to races for free is a bad thing? No. But I think that if the people you are sending are giving off a mm-hmm. message or acting in a way that is resulting in this level of anger towards ultimately one of the most beautiful events in the world, then I think we've got an issue. And they've got to take some responsibility, these companies, because it's not just the individual. Yeah, they're there absolutely. Ultimately representing companies.
Yeah.
So they've got to take some responsibility.
No, 100% agree.
If anyone wants to send me and Rosie to New York Marathon, then by all means, let us know.
I'm up for that.
We'll stay at the Sheraton. You know, we don't mind. Right, back to some banter. We're going to kick second half of the show off because we've got some good things to talk about, like 9 at 10 KPBs,
yep.
City Marathon, which is coming up as a major, and then we've got some running X to talk through as well, and then we've got a few funny bits that we're going to run through, some content that I've seen this week that's just made me lol. But before we do that, a message for our sponsors. Today, this episode is brought to you by Pillar Performance. Now, if you've never heard of Pillar Performance before, these are a brilliant brand down under in Australia, and they are ultimately a company that are attacking the sports supplementation world like we have never seen before. Now, we've all heard of carbohydrates and hydration products to ensure that during the race, you get to the finish line in the best place possible. Pillar are doing it differently. They are making sure that you make the start line in the best place possible. Now, I've been using their triple magnesium before bed for a long, long time, as has Alfie and Matt. We need to get you some.
Yeah, definitely.
And not only does it make me feel better with my recovery and I feel like my sleep improves, I'm also tracking it and seeing the difference via my Coros. So my sleep quality, so my REM and my deep sleep scores going up, as well as my recovery scores are going up as well. Now, if you don't believe me, just head over to Pillar's website and their Instagram and check out the athletes that they're working with. They are working with some of the best athletes that we've seen. Like we have Brett Robinson, Charlotte Perdue, Loy Kempson, Alfie Manforth. Some of the best athletes out there are using Pillar and specifically the triple magnesium. Now, if you would like to check out their range and you are watching or listening from the US, head over to pillarperformance.shop. And if you use the discount code TRAXTER, all capitals, you can get yourself 15% off. And if you are listening or watching from outside the US, head over to thefeed.com/pillar. Use the same discount code and you can get yourself some money off. But big thanks to Pillar for supporting the show. So, Rosie, what's next? What we got next on the agenda?
Should we go stick with Down Under and have a little chat about Sydney?
Oh, my hometown, my unofficial hometown. Yes, of course we can.
So, firstly, Sydney was announced this week as being one of the new, being a new marathon major.
Yeah, seventh.
So it's going to be a seventh instead of just six star. Now. Yeah, seven star medal instead of the classic six star medal. Mm. And yeah, I'm going to be honest. My first thought was, I've got a reason to go to Sydney. Great.
I think everyone. Hey, do you know who else felt that? All of the influencers of the world.
Yep.
I'm getting a free trip to Australia. do you know what my first thought was? It was, wow, that's going to be hilly.
Yeah, it is.
Because Sydney, if anyone's not been there, everyone sees it as beaches and Bondi and David Hasselhoff and, you know, lifeguards and stuff, which it is. But it is savagely hilly. Savagely. Doesn't matter where you go, every run has a mountainous elevation. So, I mean, if you think of one of them, they've got they call it the biggest fun run in the world, the City to Surf, where you start in the city and you run all the way to Bondi. And you have to go up like Heartbreak Hill. They've got their own version of it. And it is just so savage. So that is not going to be a world record course.
No, it's going to be... Yeah, it's going to be rough, but I think it's great.
I think it's wicked.
And yeah, if you ever wanted an excuse to travel,
I know.
There it is. Especially
in August. Yeah, it's not that hot that time of year.
That sounds quite nice.
That's their winter.
Yeah.
So that'll be decent. I don't know the exact degrees, but from memory, when the winters there were like, I don't know, coldest got 12. So coldest it was.
Sold.
Yeah,
sold.
But I'll tell you what, that day, I remember that day, it was so cold. It was 12 degrees. I remember getting my iPhone out and be like, so cold. I had a jacket, a scarf, a hat and gloves on. It was 12 degrees. And now I think I'd probably have shorts on in London.
Yeah, I think you'd be all right.
But I think it's going to be good. I think it offers a different type of marathon. And now you've got the fast majors and you've got your tougher majors. And I think it adds a nice dynamic. Obviously, there was absolute outrage with the six-star marathon runners, all the ones that had either got five and they needed six, or the ones that had got six and they were all like, do I now need a new medal? But they've said that it doesn't affect the process of becoming a six-star runner.
Yes. But yeah, I think it's just a really nice way to round it off. And I think if you're going to go, I think the marathon majors are so cool because obviously you get to travel and do all these things which people are so drawn to anyway. But it is the variation in the marathon courses that show that you have got this all-round just grit.
Yeah.
The marathon, like I said on the last episode, it really is you kind of on the road, and there is a real kind of authenticity about the marathon because it really strips back running and it is you against the mileage. And this kind of takes that to a new level because it's you and the mileage and any other hurdle that these courses can throw at you, whether it's hilly, whether it's flat, whether it's twisty and turny, like whatever it is that makes that course unique, you have to deal with. And I think it's really nice to kind of add that like last dimension to it and make it kind of an all round. You've done these seven majors. That's pretty phenomenal. And as if we could, yeah, kind of add to the six majors in the sense of like that was already such an insane achievement. This really does round it nicely in my opinion.
Yeah, I want to go.
Yeah, I do.
I'm going in February.
Lovely.
But it won't be cold. It'll be really, really hot. Sorry to boast. But I'll scout out the course, guys, and I'll let you know how it goes. But yeah, if anyone out there wants to send me and Rosie to Sydney,
I'll take it.
Let us know. Yeah. You know, we can go. We can do content and
absolutely.
I'll run with a cam on my head or sell my soul. I'll do what I need to do. I'll do what needs to be done.
Yeah, okay. If someone says they're gonna send me out to Sydney, I'll let them say whatever they need and I'll make sure it happens.
Let's have it.
Yeah.
9 out of 10 KPBs, slightly more somber note. They've announced that they're taking a fallow year.
Yes.
Nice expression.
Lovely, I thought. Very calming.
Yeah, they're taking a fallow year where they're basically going to have a year off. They've said that they need a rest, a well-earned rest for their spectators, but also their volunteers. Ben Pochi and the team at Highgate Harriers have been doing it. I don't know how many years. It's got to be at least 10, isn't it?
Yeah, I actually was at the England Athletics Hall of Fame last weekend, and Ben Pochi won an award there for his work with Highgate Harriers and his contributions in creating the Night of 10Ks. So it's really nice actually for him to have been kind of honoured in that way, and then for him to have a rest and let him kind of reset before we go again with it in 2026.
Become such a start sort of thing in the calendar, hasn't it?
It is. It's a staple. Every year, every May, I look forward to those 25 laps. I think it's going to be great.
I think they really, really reinvented athletics.
Yeah, I'd say so. And I think as a spectator sport, it has drawn people in. I know people that had never been to a race before.
Yeah.
I'm going to like 10Ks this year, Rosie. Like, what do I expect? Oh, you're going to have a great time.
This year we worked with On, the sponsor for the event, and worked closely with Ben Callum and the Highgate team on sort of promoting the elites that were doing the race. And it was really great to work with them. Great team, and just really keen to just try and create as much value for fans before the event, as well obviously at the event, as much as possible. The year before, I just got involved in Trackster, like literally it was like weeks into sort of working with Trackster, and Highgate was coming up, and I was like, now I know like people call it Night 10K, people like, I call it Highgate because I'm an old fatty daddy, but it's Highgate. So I was like, yeah, I need to get to Highgate. I've got to be there with the mic. Like, come on, we've got to do some stuff. But obviously, like, Trackster was really in its sort of like young years of this new format and the new team. So messaged Ben. I was like, can you get me a media pass? Please, can I come? And he was like, yeah, sorted it. Like, no worries. And went to the event. And I said to my dad, who massive athletics fan, like watched me for years. I said, Dad, you've got to come to this event. Like, come down to London. He lives in Peterborough. Come to London. You can stay at mine. Like, trust me. Like, I didn't really need to sell it because I was like, there's a beer tent. He was like, yeah, I'm there. There's a beer tent with constant alcohol and loads of athletics, and it's just wicked. And he's like, yeah, all right, I'll come. So I brought him down, and my sister came down, my girlfriend, all of our friends. Like, it was a good day out. They're all having picnics on the hill and that. And I was like, right, I've got to go do some work now. So I went away for a few hours. I come back, check up on my dad, and he's there, you know, like chilling on the hill, laying down on his picnic blanket. And I went over to him and I was like, how you getting on? He went, it's bloody brilliant, isn't it? He went, why no one else do this? This is amazing. I went, that right there is the question that we're all trying to get our heads around.
Yeah.
We're all trying to get our heads around. No one really knows the answer of why no one else is doing it to this level, Dad, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. And now, yeah, he watched it last year and he loves it now. And it's like, I think that's what Highgate's all about.
Absolutely.
Past fans, present fans and future fans that have never seen it before. They come down and they're like, I'm now a track fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's an event that will draw people into the sport and they'll stay. Yeah. And it will become one in the calendar that they look forward to. Like I said, each year, you know that is going to be a great day out. Because it does. It starts in the day and it ends in the evening. And it's almost like you don't just go for the athletics, you go for the atmosphere, and it brings in that kind of party atmosphere that people sometimes feel like they're missing. And I think it's so brilliant, and the more that we can see that across the sport, the better, because yes, athletics is very traditional in a lot of senses. I think that's really important to our sport, and I think we shouldn't ever lose that, but that doesn't mean there isn't room to grow and expand these events too. And I think that's so important because it's going to reignite a spark that people will sometimes lose. Everyone falls in and out of love with sport, their hobbies, whatever it is. They all go through peaks and troughs of how much they enjoy it and they want to be involved in it. And some of that will be to do with life stresses or school stresses or injury, whatever it is. But if you ever need something to reignite a passion, Night of the 10Ks does it for you without even realising it. Yeah. And I think that's really important for our sport, because that's how we're going to maintain fans and people that are part of it. Because like we said, it's so accessible. Mm. If you're a fan of the sport, chances are you're going to do it, especially with running. So that's only a good thing for our population. If we look at things like general health and everything like that, it's so important. And to be able to enjoy it and to feel connected with the athletes, being in lane three, in the beer and cheer, it's great fun. It brings together that social side with the sport, with the excitement, with competitiveness. There's nothing that it misses.
I'm looking forward to it coming back in 2026.
Yeah, me too.
And if you are watching, Ben, or any of your team, I do have a suggestion that I would just like to... Well, this is our show, so I feel like I can. I've got a suggestion for future Night of the 10K PBs. Can I request a Guinness tap? Because I like Guinness. And, you know, as much as the beer options and the gin trucks and all the other stuff's great, there are a lot of Guinness drinkers that go. And I just feel that if there was a Guinness truck, or like, I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing hundreds of athletics fans trying to split the G on the top bend. It'd just be biblical. Can you see my brain working?
I can.
Yeah. So if you are watching, Ben and co, please do get a Guinness tap or a Guinness truck, or, you know, maybe we can sponsor it. Who knows? I'm going. Anywho, moving on. Now, before we go into our biggest running X, which I'm so excited for.
Can't wait.
There's two pieces of content that I want to run through that I've seen this week, that we've seen this week, that are just absolutely hilarious. Both running related. In fact, both marathon related. The first one that I'm going to run through here is, I actually saw this today, and I've got to say, guys, you've got to go see it. And we'll tell out George, our editor, hopefully he can do his magic and pop this up on screen. But head over to Instagram and check out the account Greedy Guys. So that's at Greedy Guys. I think they're two Dutch guys. I'm not entirely too sure, because I've never heard of their account until today. But they basically jumped into the last 400 metres of the Amsterdam Marathon. They created themselves numbers, so printed them off themselves, like designed them so they were like identical to the TCS Amsterdam Marathon, put their number on or whatever, printed them off, pinned them on a top. They look like normal recreational runners, and they've just snuck onto the course with 400 metres to go, vlogged it, and what's funniest about it is that, like, 200 metres left, they're like stopping and like, oh, this is so hard, bro, come on, you can do this. They're like really struggling, like trying, they're milking it. And then down the home straight, they're like trying to get other runners, like, come on, you're nearly there. And they're celebrating over the line. And then they go and they're like, right, where's our medals? So they go and find themselves a medal, they get a medal. And then one of the guys gets interviewed on national TV. And he's like, yeah, yeah, just, you know, really, really happy with today. I ran a PB 3 hours and 1 minute. The guys are like, no one has a clue. And then as they're walking off, they're like, we're a disgrace of the nation. Now, obviously, it's in jest and it's a joke. But we've just discussed about having a film crew on the course and foul play. This is like deliberate foul play, but making fun of it in a way. And I don't know whether this, whilst it was funny content, I feel like this highlights the security issue with one of the biggest marathons in the world may have.
I think that kind of does play into how we're policing our rules here.
Yes.
Like you mentioned earlier, I think that's, yeah, there is a definite humour side to it. And probably that coming up after what's happened with Matt is not maybe, timing. Yeah. It's an interesting little collision of the two things, and people could perhaps see it through quite a funny lens if they're seeing it being in jest, and maybe it's going to help the two kind of perspectives come back together a little bit, or perhaps it's going to be received a little bit dubiously by people that were impacted in New York.
You've got to be careful, guys. You'll get yourselves banned from all events if you carry on. But and Rosie, you've got one that is just amazing. Talk us through that.
Oh, Connor.
What a guy.
So
I wanted him on the show.
That would be amazing.
I'm going to try and get him. Do you know how hard it was to try and get him?
I bet it was. I mean, I was looking for his name for a while.
He's underground.
Yeah.
He barely has Instagram.
He's not got I've seen posts of people asking him to be tagged and stuff, and no one's got his handle.
Barely got Instagram. And then like one person was like, oh, we used to work with him. What?
Great.
So we've got him.
Awesome.
And I'm in contact.
Okay, this could be, that could be good.
Yeah.
So yeah, Connor Strinkowski, hope I said that right. 238.16 at New York. He was 326, so pretty high up that 56,000 start list.
That's very good.
But he's made content and he's gone kind of gone viral because he pins his number to his chest.
No, you didn't hear that incorrectly. He pins his number to his skin.
Quite literally to his chest. And I mean, I think anyone says, oh, put your bib on, you think, goes on my vest.
And if you're not wearing a top,
goes in your shorts.
Yeah. Like ultra runners do it, don't they?
Yeah. But not to him. Did goes you know straight through his skin.
It's against the rules.
Is it?
Yep. It's against the rules, apparently.
So, I'm not surprised, be honest.
No, not the pin into the skin. That's not the element that's broke the rules. But obviously, I saw this photo of Connor with his... And it was like a really high quality image, really up close of his... Like, you know, it was like the most clear, crisp photo of a man's nipple you've ever seen. And yeah, you can see the pin has just pierced his skin very slightly. I can't even fathom how he does it, but awesome at the same time. And I posted on my story and was like, this is sick. Can anyone find me, Connor? And a running coach, a well-known running coach, I won't name who it is. I don't know if they'll see this. Replied to my story saying, it's against the rules, that. Sorry? I was like...
It's a rather odd thing to be against the rules, really, isn't it?
I know. I was like, what? Got to wear a singlet. Can't wear no top. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, I don't really care. Like,
yeah.
This is quite cool. Proceeds to send me the screenshot of the rule. Says, look, I'm not joking. Against the rules. Has to wear a singlet. I'm like, blimey. And I think it was just a bit of a continuation of the anger towards influencers.
Record
the race.
Rule breakers galore is what we're finding then.
So you have to wear a top, basically. But on the story, it was like, can you find me this guy? The running community, find me this guy. People were like, his name's Connor. And I was like, okay, cool, because they'd like Googled his number. And I was like, yeah, I probably should have done that. and then someone from Run Through, James Cody, who was here earlier actually, said, here's a photo of him at one of our events where he'd done the same. He had a Run Through number pinned to his chest. And apparently that's just what he does. And someone said, oh yeah, I used to work with him at Let's Do This, race event company. And they said that he has scars on his body from all the pins.
Oh my God.
I don't want to kind of like tell him, like, show me, but I want to confirm it on the show. Like, do you actually have scars from all the safety pins?
That's just crazy. Like, it just actually blows my mind. I saw the picture, I thought, that's got to be Photoshopped. It
has to be fake.
Like, that has got to be, it's got to be edited. Like, surely it's like, I didn't know if someone had like superimposed safety pins on him or like it was a sticker of a safety pin. Like, I didn't know what he'd done, but I was sure it hadn't been pinned to his chest. Because not only is the installation of that number going to hurt, but when you're running, there is somewhat movement. Like, your skin is going to be moving.
Like, your skin's going
to
be pulling.
Yeah, your arms are moving. The skin's going to be pulling and from left to right as you're moving. And I just...
We have so many questions, don't we? Like,
so many questions. Only he can answer.
But like, I don't know why I'm so obsessed with knowing the answers, but like, I need to know. I need to understand. I need to understand his brain.
Yeah, well, are we not in enough pain when we run? Never mind a marathon.
And you know, you ran 2:38... And he posted on his Instagram was private, so it's not like, no offense, Connor, but like it was a tiny Instagram. Like it wasn't like an influencer or whatever, which you think he would be like being such an enigma.
Like this.
Yeah, and he went through halfway in 71 minutes.
My God!
And his Instagram caption was something like 71 first half, 87 second half. Lol, went for it. It was like along the lines of that, like just went for it, and like it was almost like laughing at himself. And then there's just this photo of him with a number pinned to his skin. Like, I, without meeting the guy or talking to him ever in my life, I love him so much so far. Like, I feel like I can communicate with someone on that level and that brainwave. I feel like we could be friends, Connor. Please come on the show. But we are going to make contact. We have made contact, and like, I just want to, even if I can't get him on the show because I don't know where he lives. He might be States. I'm just going to get him to phone in.
Yeah, it'd just be incredible, wouldn't it? And the other thing, there was no blood or redness around those pins. It was clean.
I actually think he's a zombie.
Oh, that's the only explanation at the moment. Without talking to him, that's the only conclusion we can draw.
He's possibly an alien, and I really want to know what's going on inside that body. That sounds strange. Moving on. So to round off the show today, Rosie, we are going to finish with a segment, Our Biggest Running Icks.
This is going to be great.
Now, you said before the recording, we've seen a lot of this of late in content.
Yeah, it's a popular thing.
Yeah, I remember Philly Bowden did a YouTube video of it once, and that was really, really funny. Like, that popped off on a YouTube channel and, like, but, like, not, I don't think, I think there's, like, two ways it can pop off. You can get people saying, like, why are you policing running? And then the other ones are like, oh, actually, lol, that's really relatable.
That's
and
so Philly, funny, yeah.
Philly's was excellent. So I think, again, I haven't prepared any because I have quite a lot.
Okay, I've got a small list.
I've brought a list. Okay, do you want to kick things prepared. Off? And I think we'll see where it goes.
So, okay, my first one has got to be, and this encompasses a few things, like we can dive into and really split hairs with
I
this.
I love how you're trying to justify yourself already.
Well, it's just poor training etiquette.
Okay.
Is my first one because if we're going to train together, let's make it a pleasant experience. The session is already going to be tough enough.
This is not all about you.
Like, people that have poor training, you know who you are.
You do as well.
People are two-stepping. They're cutting you off.
For our viewers and listeners,
they're surging.
What's two-stepping?
So two-stepping is when you're running with somebody, a group of people, one person, however many people you like, and it can be in a tempo, it can be in any session, it could be in a steady run.
Any type of run.
Any type of run. And they are just a step ahead of you, two steps, just a tiny little bit ahead of you, where they're not, and they're running the same pace, but they're not actually, like, why are you there? Just run next to me.
Yeah, your natural instinct is, like, to catch them because you think you're falling behind. So
and then
the
you
pace
end up
just gets just quicker.
Being a progression run. I wanted a recovery. Why am I running, like, a progression?
And you know who does this? I'm calling you out. Charlotte Perdue. You are terrible for this. When you're in shape, which is, like, 99% of the time, you two-step every single long run. Do you know how many long runs I have been dying inside because of Charlotte Purdy? And she's so guilty of it.
If you're doing it with, like, if I'm doing it with one of my mates, we're both dying. We're both struggling. But
unless you're Charlotte Purdy, she's probably.
Well, yeah. But then you end up thinking that you're doing it to each other, so you both keep going. So yeah, two-stepping is a big one in that poor training etiquette.
Jail sentence worthy.
Absolutely. But then we go into, like, surging. If we're doing a session together, why are you surging to get away from me? Because I'm just going to catch you up in a few minutes.
Yeah, that I've not had too much experience of that.
It does my head in.
But when I have, my reaction has always been, are you all right? That's just weird. Like, yeah. I don't quite get it.
Like, chill out. We're tempoing together. There's no need to be getting this head up in what's going on. You're not trying to run the legs off me. It's fine.
Too right. So two-stepping, surging. What are there any other elements of poor training etiquette?
Just cutting me up. If we're training on the grass and we're going around a corner, or we're in Bushy, you go around a corner, just give me my distance. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm not going to run you off the road.
These are very relatable if you're if you're watching or listening and you've run with groups or you run with a club or something like that. These are so relatable. I'm going to throw one into the mix. I think this is related to poor training etiquette. Males, this is you, taking your top off when it's freezing.
That's on my list. That is on my list. Tops off when it's not tops off weather.
Now, I feel that boundary of when it is tops off weather and when it isn't is subjective.
Absolutely.
Because some people get more warmer than others and core temperature's higher, whatever. If it's 3 degrees, you do not need your top off before the session starts.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need it off at all, but you don't need it off before the session starts.
But if you're going to take it off, at least whip it off halfway through.
I just can't understand.
Yeah.
Again, I think there's two reasons it happens. I think some are wired incorrectly. And secondly, some are, shall we say, flaunting.
Showboating.
Flaunting what their mother gave them, or trying to.
Yes.
But that's strange.
So yeah, tops off when it's not tops off weather is firmly on my list. Because
not good.
Like, again, no one's that fussed.
No.
We're training. It's okay.
I know.
Like, just take a chill pill.
Put your hairy back away.
Maybe that's why they're so warm.
Oh, yeah, true. They got an extra, layer. yeah. I've got one for you.
Go on.
And my girlfriend's guilty of this.
Okay.
I tell her every single time.
Oh, no.
And I dig her out for it. Every single time. I don't make that sound like I dig her out for everything, but this is one thing that I can't not.
Okay.
And I'm really sorry if this triggers you, runners. If you go for a run and you wear your GPS watch, your Garmin, your Coros, whatever. Say you do a session, you all wear the same watch. So you wear your watch for your sessions, then you wear it the next day for your recovery run, then you wear it for your long run, right? No runner washes their watch.
No.
We don't wash the watch or like wipe it. It gets sweaty.
It collects get sweaty again, isn't it?
Gunk.
Like, it's gross. Disgusting. It is gross, but it's a staple of a runner.
Exactly. You people that wear the same watch socially are a disgrace. Oh my God. Do you know what?
Look at that. It's not there.
If you're going to the pub or out for dinner, do you know the worst one? Weddings.
Oh my God, yeah.
Do you know the worst one? Groom or bride.
Yeah.
What are you doing? If you're wearing your running watch, socially it's horrendous, but if you're wearing it to an occasion and I'm cringing. I
mean, you're not Ben 10. It doesn't need to be on there.
Not Ben 10. That one, that actually makes me angry.
That's very fair.
And I took Victoria, my partner, to a restaurant once, and she had a Garmin on. She's not much of a runner. She doesn't run too much, so she can be sort of let off a little bit. But I put we had a photo together, and a gentleman in the restaurant took it, and I put it on my story, and I was just like, when you've got dinner at 5 and tempo at 7, and zoomed in on her Garmin, because it's just not acceptable.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Put a Casio on.
Yeah, just it's yeah.
Anywho, so that's mine. What
I
you like got next? One. What you got up next?
Okay, back to the training etiquette, I guess. Mm. Not tempoing a tempo.
Oh, yeah.
If we're in a tempo session, and we all overcook it sometimes, like that's all right.
Yeah.
If you're going to pop in a session, fair enough. We've got to test the limits.
Yeah.
I totally get that. But if I'm going to go and do, and so one of the uni sessions is an infamous one for us, is our tempo in hills.
Mm.
I know.
I've been doing that last Saturdays.
It's rough, isn't it?
It's horrible.
I know that the majority, 90%, are not tempoing.
No, I'll go back to 2016.
Yeah, no one's tempoing it.
No.
Come on now.
No.
And like, it drags you along. And that's great because it does get, like, just drag you along. You think, oh, maybe I am comfortable at these paces.
I'm really brilliant.
But like, if we're going to be tempoing, especially if it's a tempo session.
Yeah.
And like, we've got like a broken tempo of like 10, 10, 10 or something along those lines, like 10 minutes that is. Like, come on. Let's actually do this properly, because who's benefiting from being absolutely on the floor from this?
The coach needs to crack down on it.
Yeah.
It's been the same at St Mary's for about 20 years.
It's not going anywhere. It is ingrained.
It's a 2 mile flat out effort.
It is. It's 10 minutes flat out. You are just
racing
around Bushy.
It's wicked.
To see who can win that first rep. No, yeah. We don't need to be doing that.
It must be class, not first rep.
Like,
and shocking at the rest of the
exactly. So like, and that's not. If you get backdoored after that, like, come on now, simmer down.
I know. Yeah, that's. I can really relate to that.
Being backdoored and popping, two slightly different things, in my opinion.
Yeah, they are.
Because if you've popped, you've pushed it a little bit too hard. Fair enough.
Yeah.
You've really tried. You've worked out your limits today. Yeah. If you've been backdoored, you've just been stupid on rep one.
It's your own fault. You've played with fire and you've got your ass burnt.
Yeah, you just, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right, I'm trying to think of my next one. Again, I didn't prepare any, but I've got one. Let me think. You go for your next one and I'll think.
Okay. I'll be interested to see your reaction here to this one.
Go on, I love it.
Carbon shoes when you're steady running or recovery running.
Okay, yeah, I knew this might come up. Okay.
Because I understand a long run, if you're marathon training, carbon shoes, fair enough.
Mm.
If they are for what you are kind of training for, cool. But if you are steady running or walking, the amount of dog walkers I see...
Nah, gym goers, that one hurts me more.
Yeah.
I've got a funny story, actually, just before we go on to why I actually think about it. You know the Adidas Evo?
Yeah.
They came out. I think they retailed at £400, most expensive super shoe. They were really hard to get hold of. They were like ballots and stuff. And my mate went to a gym in Camberley, and he walks in, and there's a geezer in there in Evos. And he's like, what? Like, one, how have you got them? And two, why are you at the gym? And he was like a gym bro, like stacked, oh, big old God. Boy. So he went up to him and he was like, oh, nice shoes, mate. They're Adidas Evos. And the geezer was like, oh, I don't know, mate. I just bought them the other day. I saw an Instagram post and they're like really rare. So I thought they looked good. So I bought them.
And he's doing, like, that hurts.
And he's doing squats in the Adidas Evo. And that just, I found that quite funny. But in answer to, yeah, you're bringing up the running ick of steady running or easy running in carbon shoes. I suppose that has become very common since the running boom. Because
yes.
It's kind of like you get into a sport, okay, what's the best product? I'm going to buy this.
Exactly. And I don't like that.
Well, I think that it's not the consumer's fault.
No, it's not. It's a lack of information.
Yeah, they don't get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then you tell them that they're wrong. Imagine you got into a sport and you... Imagine you got into equestrian, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Pick that one out of nowhere. And you buy some... you buy a saddle. You buy a saddle because you Google it and you go, best saddle for equestrian. Of course, that's a bit spenny. I'll buy that. All right, that looks sick. It's got glitter on it. Bang. In it comes. You rock up to old training and go, giddy up. Over you go. And then some old geezer there down the equestrian club goes, who's been, you know, prancing around equestrian arenas for decades, goes, you do know that that saddle was only for competition. You are an idiot. Are you that stupid? You're going to feel a bit like, whoa, hang on a minute. I've only just got started. Like, it's not my fault. Do you feel like that's fair
I
enough?
I think that's very fair. I think that's, yeah, that's a very good point. And it is... I guess the lack of information. Yeah, it's still gross. The lack of information is another thing that does really bug me. And I guess it kind of comes back to your influencers and content creators that will be like, well, this is the best shoe. Mm. No, it's the best shoe for you.
Yes. Yeah. I think if you want to run Yeezy runs in a race shoe, then do it. I would say that it's not. It's not a good thing to do for you.
I think it could be quite dangerous. Yeah.
Perspective. They're not built for what you're doing. No. So I think just like common sense.
Yeah, just
should prevail. But ultimately, if the consumer's not aware, then they're not aware.
Yes, I think there needs to be a little bit more kind of easily accessible education on the topic. But yeah, dog walkers specifically really do grate my gears with it grind my gears is the saying, isn't it?
Yeah, vaporflies and dry robes.
Put them together.
Disgusting.
Walking a dog in Tesco, you're going to have an absolute field day, aren't you?
Right, I've got one for you. I don't know how to kind of title it, so I'll try my best. People that's whole personality
mm-hmm.
is digging out other people. That's a running it for me. So
okay.
Runners,
yep.
That's whole personality.
Oh, constantly like...
digging out
yeah.
other runners. For example, if we did this mm-hmm. and we were digging runners out and making it really personal, like, oh, look at those idiots wearing those carbon shoes. They ain't got a clue. They're stupid yeah. or whatever. And trying to like ultimately take the mick out of them.
Yeah.
That is a nick for me.
Yeah.
And people that make it their personality, especially through their social media, as creators, so there's specific content creators that do this. They low-key mock mm-hmm. other runners, but they do it because they're not very creative. And
yes.
it really, really... It makes me cringe, but it makes me annoyed.
I think that goes back to the point of, like, running as an equal playing field.
Yeah.
Like...
I think it's gross.
Doesn't, like...
You know what the main one is? It's like the main video that always crops up is creators that have views on people that run in hydration vests. And... they always, the content will go, it will follow the suit of, yeah, mocking runners that carry loads of stuff on their runs, like keys, phone, wallet, water bottle, whatever, headphones, to run a distance that creator doesn't deem worthy to wear that
yeah.
vest. And I've always been at the camp of, one, like, if something that someone is wearing bothers you that much to create a video on it, then I think that you need a therapist. And two, for a lot of runners, that for a majority of that runner that does wear hydration vest, it is a lot of female runners. And it's because a lot of female runners within that group have to take precautions. So they have to ensure they have their phone for safety, their wallet, because if they need to, I don't know, get on a bus or go and get a cab or go and get dart into a shop and buy something, I don't know, their keys so that they can get home or get in their house. Now, I'm not saying that males don't have this problem, but like, I don't have to run with my phone because I don't need to worry about my safety as much as a lot of women do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't run with a vest because I don't really need anything. I just run with my key in my hand.
Yeah.
But my girlfriend, she wears a running vest, and I always say to her, take your key and... use it if you need to use it. Put your phone in your vest and make sure that you got your location turned on. Take your wallet in case you bonk and you need to get a cab or something like that. Like, take some snacks and all that sort of stuff. So, like, I know we've gone off on a bit of a tangent here, but, like, that's my ick. People that dig other runners out in a very poorly creative way. You're an ick. Yeah.
That's a very good one. So my final one. Oh, no, I've got two more on my list, actually.
Shoot.
So the first of them, just poor sportsmanship in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of links into yours a little bit there. Like, you're not impressing anyone by not supporting each other.
Yeah.
Like, you are there, if you're with your club, you're there with your team, whether you're running individually or at a relay. Once you cross that line, like, you are friends. Whether you see eye to eye or not, like, you are allies.
Yeah.
We are in this sport together. Like, there is no excuse for you to be showing poor sportsmanship.
That's
like,
what's the point?
No, it's a courtesy. Like, come on, we're better than this. As a sport as a whole, we are better than that.
Yeah.
And I think poor sportsmanship and just disrespecting others that are also doing their best is just, it's just gross.
Fair play. Okay. Yeah. And finally, my last one. I feel like I probably should have researched these so much better and like thought about what I was going to say in the fear of maybe offending someone. I'm really sorry if you're offended. Writing a novel in your Strava description.
I knew Strava had to be mentioned at some point. I feel like it's quite a controversial app at times.
Yeah. Obviously, like a lot of controversy comes from Strava, but I just can't.
I think that's fair.
I just can't. I just don't understand. Like, there's a professional runner out there that's really guilty of this. Jake Smith. I'm talking to you. I love Jake Smith. Jake, I love you, bro. You're a legend and a great athlete. Really nice guy. But he writes a novel in every single Strava upload. It's so intense. But do you know what? Where I see it as an ick, I also respect the hustle and the grind. I respect... I mean,
that's the dedication.
Yeah, I respect... Because the graft... Like, Jake puts mad graft into training, does training that not many people can replicate. But the graft and the time it must take to analyse the data and then embed the data in a way that is a novel is amazing. So I actually applaud him in a way. But as a follower, when Jake was injured, I think it was last year, he did loads of cross training because he wasn't running. He did heaps of cross training on the elliptical. And his elliptical sessions were like beast mode, like getting real big and super, super crazy sessions. And I just remember there was this one session where, like, I don't know if it was like loads of intervals, of like X amount of time, X amount of effort or whatever. And there was just so many numbers and so much data, and just like, I just remember the description just literally being like a couple of scrolls. And at that point, I was like, you just went on the elliptical for an hour, mate. So I mean that in the nicest, most like lighthearted way ever. But I'm using Jake as an example. But what I mean from a broader sense is like, people go for a walk to the shops and they're like, on my walk today, this is what I saw, this is how I felt, this was what my heart rate was, my sleep score was this, my hamstrings tight, but I picked up a meal deal, loosened it off on the way. You get my drift, yeah? And it's like, come on, mate, have a day off. Have a day off from the this is my life.
Well, I think it's Strava's seriousness that I don't particularly enjoy. Like, I actually don't use my Strava because I just deleted it.
Let's get you on it, Rosie.
I'm not doing it. Like,
let's get you on it. Start creating novels in honestly, the description.
Could start selling them. It'd be great. But I just, yeah, no, I, the seriousness of Strava, I think sometimes, and like when people are like overanalyzing your runs, I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Ask me what my trainer's doing. It's a bit odd that you're that
invested
in what I'm doing.
But then I clearly sound a bit invested in Jake Smith's training.
But yeah, this is clearly
but that's because I idolise the great man. But hey, that does bring us to a quite nice ending, actually.
I think it does.
That was quite fun, that segment, and hopefully we haven't offended anyone too badly. But thank you so much for tuning in. If you are listening, thank you for listening in, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of the Traxtor Podcast, brought to you by Pillar Performance. All the links to our website and our newsletter will be in the description, and if you'd like to check out the Pillar Performance website, please do. You can use the discount code Traxtor in all capitals for 15% off. I totally recommend their triple magnesium. It's great for your recovery. Rosie, do you want to sign us off?
Yeah, well, thanks very much for watching. We had a great time.
It was.
We'll be back very, very soon, and I'm looking forward to it.
Next time we'll be back, we'll hopefully have Connor on the show.
That will be great.
And
actually,
we'll be doing the a Liverpool Cross Country European Champs European Trials review.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. All right. See you next time. Ciao.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.